LGBT folks come in all shapes and colors, even shades of miserable conservative beige.
A gay journalist who says he used to be liberal is now saying he's ready to come out as conservative, claiming he's a victim of all the outrage over his article on an alt-right gay scammer whose attempt at pissing people off is putting money in his pocket.
Today, we're taking a look at the few but miserable LGBT folks who, for some reason, are hot for Trump's, Bannon's, and Putin's Nazi dongs.
Plus, a gas station cashier in Australia wants you to keep your sweaty titty money in your bra.
A new study says eating fruits and vegetables is great for lifting your spirits.
No surprise, Trump's inauguration poster has a misspelling.
And happy Pun Day, a tribute to fabulous puns. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this
is Feast of Fun.
Hey, that's my line.
It's mine now. Is that too weird? Does that sound weird?
No, it's fine.
Not shaving gives me more time for misbehaving. Get this sexy t-shirt and all our fabulous designs at feastoffun.com/store.
Alexis K. Tyler was right. Dick will make you slap somebody.
You get some good dick, you'll slap them. Just say, I like this so much.
Because some people are so horny, they're going to throw their own mama underneath the bus to get to the sex they want to have. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, you do irrational, devastating things that are against your own interests just because you're horny.
Oh, yeah. You're hot for somebody and you're like, so you talk smack about somebody else that's in the room, or you disparage somebody else because you're just like, I must make sure that I get this dick and only I can have it.
We've seen that all the time.
Oh, you've seen it.
You have people over for a party. You think everybody's going to get along because they're your friends. And inevitably, there's three guys in the room, and one of them wants to have sex with the two of them are fighting over the same guy. Right. And that probably happens with straight people, too.
Oh, I'm sure. Right.
And one guy notices that the other guy is trying to get his man. Right. And so he starts going like, well, whatever this guy likes, I hate. And it serves, yeah. And this sort of
this
pops
did not
up.
Happen at my birthday party,
no.
though, did it?
No, it didn't happen. No. But we've seen it happen.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And, you know, and so it's not the fact that the person is necessarily ideologically or logically mm-hmm. against whatever the other person that they feel are competition with.
Right.
And, you know, in my philosophy is like, honey, there's plenty of love to go around. It's not a finite resource. If two of you are fighting over the same man, why not have a three-way?
Some people, they want to be possessive and they want it all for themselves.
Mine. And, you know, sometimes, like Alexis K. Tyler says, when you get some good dick, your brain stops working. So this is this conservative guy. Well, there's this guy who writes articles. He wrote a really nice article about Lady Bunny's show.
Isn't that nice? For Transgester,
you know?
Oh, that's sweet.
So he's somebody who, like us, likes Lady Bunny. You know?
Sure.
So you'd think he's listening to Lady Bunny's political messages of her career. And he's like saying, you know, we have, following the nuance of her very intellectually stimulating comedy performance. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case.
No.
He's somebody who works for a lot of corporate gay media. Mm-hmm. And gay media, or just media in general right now, is kind of at a crisis because the way we make money is head over heels.
Yeah. Do you have any money for me, listeners? If you do, go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution today.
And so a lot of organizations and websites either are doing some shady backhanded things like Breitbart. They basically are running the White House right now. Mm-hmm. Or they're posting up a lot of spam, link bait articles, like this show is, you know, Dick will make you slap somebody. We wrote that because you thirsty girls are going to be listening, going, what's he talking about? And so, and sometimes that puts pressure on the people who are writing to interview or profile people that are not necessarily in the best interest of their readers or LGBT rights in general.
And sometimes when people actively work against your community, doing like a profile on them, as well as you can say, I was trying to do it balanced and informative. It's not really like that because these people are out to get you.
And, you know, we've done interviews with Shirley Phelps.
Sure. We tried to understand where she was coming from. Some people were kind of disgusted that we would even talk to her. But the other people who listened to it said it was very interesting to actually hear that person who I've only seen act crazy on the news talk to you in like in a rational way.
But it was chilling.
It was chilling. It was
and the
weird.
Goal was to present this person in a way where you could understand that her hate mongering it stems from a perfectly normal, everyday place. Mm-hmm. And all these neo-Nazis, alt-rights, Trumpers that are part of some people, there are very few people, but there are some LGBT people who are Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. Most famously, Caitlyn Jenner. Mm-hmm. What's Caitlyn? It is Caitlyn Jenner. Okay. Yeah. And there are other people.
She transitioned again, right? You were like, wait.
No, I'm just thinking like her last name was something else. Like, I was like, Caitlyn.
No, it's Jenner.
Yeah, it is Caitlyn Jenner. Mm-hmm. So anyways, these individuals may be misinformed. They might be fearful. There might be lonely. Mm-hmm. And they might be lost. Maybe there are people who are just like that guy who's trying to get the dick in the room is saying anything just to get the attention from the person that they mm-hmm. want. And then there's some people who are like fraudsters, you know, like they're the Perez Hiltons of the world who will do anything to get a career that they think they're on easy street. You mm-hmm. saw the musical Little Orphan Annie.
I sure did.
Right.
I've actually had to watch it now a couple of times this past couple of weeks because for some reason you become obsessed with it. And I walk into it and it's like the sun will come out tomorrow. And you keep singing
bet
it.
Your bottom mm-hmm. dollar that tomorrow because the musical Annie uh-huh. feels like it was written yesterday.
Because you feel like we're all living in an orphanage run by Mrs. Hannigan.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. like Trump's America.
Kill, kill, kill,
kill, kill. Right?
That was so like weird to watch that you would
Carol
never put
Burnett
that,
in
you
that
would
movie.
Never put that in a movie today.
Little Orphan Annie is a parable for our times right now. It is a metaphor. Mm. And what's really great about Little Orphan Annie is that they were, you know, it was sort of like a political satire. It's one of those cartoons that nobody reads in the Sunday that didn't have a punchline.
I read Little Orphan Annie.
It wasn't very funny. It didn't have like any insight. It was like Mary Worth. It didn't, it just kind of.
How dare you come for Mary Worth?
It didn't have a plot. It was like, the plot was like continuing in days and you had to follow it like a soap opera.
Sure.
But never had a punchline. It wasn't like, you were like kind of like, I don't get it. Whereas Garfield or you know, Peanuts mm-hmm. or.
So you like the little silly cartoons. It got you a little jolly laugh.
Yeah. Well, it was meant to be funny. You know, the funny papers. Yeah. Funny pages. Right. Mm-hmm.
And Little Orphan Annie was kind of creepy with those white giant eyes.
Those eyes freaked me out. Right.
Yeah.
But here comes this musical that they did that sort of has Little Orphan Annie and Daddy Warbucks. This rich benefactor is a Republican. He's a conservative. Mm-hmm. And he's also friends with FDR and Eleanor Roosevelt, mm-hmm. right? And they're liberals. They're Democrats. And Little Orphan Annie manages to be the voice of hope that unites America.
Aww.
Because ultimately, as Americans, what we got is hope.
We have each other.
We have each other. We need each other. Mm-hmm. And so the point of doing this podcast today is to reach out to some of our listeners who may feel like they fell through the cracks, that they've been ignored, that they're lonely or horny or lost, and they feel like Trump or neo-Nazis mm-hmm. or the alt-right it's is the solution them. Yeah. for them.
And get them the dick that they want.
And
the hugs.
And this is a podcast for Chadwick Moore, who mm-hmm. wrote about this huckster, this fraudster who's you know, he's not relevant.
At the Republican National Convention, he works for Breitbart, and everywhere he goes, people are protesting him, which is adding more and more fame to him. And that's exactly what he wants. Simon & Schuster just gave him a book publishing deal for $250,000. Luckily, thankfully, some people have spoken up and said, hey, you know what? I don't want to work with you anymore, Simon & Schuster, if this is what you want to do. This is a person who trolls the world in order to aggrandize himself and cash in. And he knows what he's doing. You know, he's getting huge amounts of publicity, and he doesn't care whether you like him or not. He just wants to become famous, and so that they also at the same time become a victim, because he knows that once he's a victim, that those people that do feel alienated, that feel disenfranchised, will go to support him.
And Chadwick Moore fell into his
trap
clutches.
Yes. And so Chadwick Moore wrote a profile on him for Out Magazine, and everybody panned it because they're like, why are you giving this guy this kind of attention? He doesn't deserve this attention. He's anti-trans. He wants us basically to all go back into the closet.
Chadwick Moore did write about Lady Bunny, but yeah. He's still yet done a profile of Bob the Drag Queen. He's never written about us. He's never written about the movies you like or you know, the people you like.
Yeah.
I kind of went and started researching about Chadwick Moore. And part of it is that he is under pressure to create articles that get people all riled up. And unfortunately, you know, he's falling into the hands of neo-Nazis, the alt-right movement, who want to portray themselves as victims. It's a mindset.
Yeah.
And this mindset is like,
because they want to get these people to be in a victimized state, because what if, sometimes victims, they just lash out. So they want these people to get motivated. And if they feel like they're a victim, they can go out and do something and, you know, smash windows or vote for Trump.
Yeah. And so like a lot of these alt-right guys, they say, you know, horrible things on their blogs, on videos and interviews. And then they go into the public and literally they're standing there waiting and wanting with cameras rolling somebody to punch them. When the Ku Klux Klan did all these demonstrations, that's exactly what they want. It legitimizes them to get attacked. And they're like, oh my God, I'm the victim. So Chadwick Moore wrote in this article.
Yeah. This is the title of the article. I'm a gay New Yorker and I'm coming out as conservative. He wrote this for the New York Post.
Yeah. And so he said, well, after writing this profile on this conservative huckster, all his friends wouldn't talk to him, and he was going to bars, and people who they used to love him, they give him free drinks, suddenly said, "You're persona non grata."
Yeah,
and he begun.
Said, yeah, and he was just like, the internet trolls were just telling him like he said he got death threats. He said people were just like trolling him nonstop on the internet.
Season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race is just around the corner, and you're drawing attention to Nazis.
And he says this is his only crime. He's like, all I had done was write a balanced story on an outspoken Trump supporter for a liberal gay magazine, and now I'm being attacked. I feel alienated and frightened. Well, I hardly can listen. How do you write a balanced article about a guy who's a complete jerk?
Well, he's part of, you know, not Chadwick, but the people, the alt-right people are the problem. They're not a debate on how to solve the problem. There are people who are creating policies, who have control of our government right now, who are out to harm us as LGBT people. And so this is not a debate over is our existence valid? Do we deserve equal rights? Do we deserve to continue getting access to health care and to marriage and being able to serve openly in the military? And be able to cover our transition and our gender identity and all these things that are vital to our existence and our health and well-being. These Trump and the Nazis and the alt-right and the fascists that are in charge right now, their goal is to tear apart the country, to tear us apart and attack each other. And the reason they're in charge is because Russia and Vladimir Putin want us fighting amongst each other so they can be the dominant power in the world, even if the United States fell apart, chances are probably Russians still wouldn't be a economic
power.
They
wouldn't get their shit together enough.
They can't get their shit together. And that's why they go after us. That's why they try to destabilize other governments, because they can't get their shit together.
Because they want everybody else to be in chaos so that in chaos, they can make their way through that.
They're not like that friend of your so-called friend of yours in college who was failing all their tests, all their classes in schools. So they try to go everybody in the dormitory and get them drunk and having failed their tests so they don't feel so bad when they're failing
really
their exams.
Did that really happen to you?
Yeah. I always notice that behavior. It's like,
come on, let's party, man. I didn't study. Let's party.
And you're like, I think I'll do just fine on the test. You go and get yourself drunk or whatever, you know?
So poor Chadwick, you know, so everybody's kind of ignoring him. He's getting socially isolated. And then on Christmas Eve, his friend, he says his best friend, who he hung out with a couple times a week, texted him and then called him a monster and said he had no heart and soul.
And you know what? I feel for you, Chadwick, because sometimes I say shit on this podcast and then people be like, how you monster? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I think caramel, coconut, and chocolate go great together.
But listen, if we say something that offends you, we're always happy to talk about it or discuss it. And remember, also put it in perspective of all the other things that we've said, because you've been listening to the show probably now for a while. You know, you agree with 99.9% of the things we say, and maybe that 1% that pisses you off. But, you know, we can move beyond that. And it just, you know, it, sometimes it does feel like a one-sided relationship. We do all the talking, but we're here for you. If you have something to say, please say it. We're interested in hearing it. And the listeners may also be hearing from you, like feeling the same kind of thing, but they haven't written, but they would like to hear your position on it. So anyway, he keeps going back to this bar, and like everybody in the bar is just like, I don't like you. I don't want to be around you. And he, you know, so he turns to his family and he reestablishes his relationship with his conservative father who lives in Iowa and who's a farmer. And so he feels like he's discovered that because of this experience of being socially isolated has turned him to being conservative. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing, that a lot of people that are conservative probably do feel socially isolated and they do feel lonely. And they, and maybe that's a part of like where they live, how their community is. And so I think that's an interesting thing that we need to kind of like think about, and like why these people become conservative.
And what do conservative people want? Mm-hmm. They want the world at war.
Do they?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, when conservatives have been in charge, what happens?
Mm-hmm. We go to war.
We got a war.
We also went to war under Clinton.
And, you know, Clinton was considered a conservative.
Johnson was a Democrat. We went into Vietnam because of him.
But because of those Democrats, those aspects of their policy, from Obama to Clinton to Johnson, they were also seen as conservative, too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the problem, is we haven't had a Bernie Sanders in charge. Mm-hmm. We almost had him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, conservative politicians and factions of the Democratic Party also made it impossible to have an actual progressive on the ticket.
Well, I think also, too, is interesting, though, he says, like, all of a sudden it's like he has this paradigm shift in his thinking. It's like, I was liberal before and then now I'm conservative. And this is a quote from him: I've come around on Republican pundit Ann Coulter, who I now think is smart and funny and not totally hateful, self-righteous bigot. Listen, there's...
Ann Coulter and a lot of these other hucksters, conservatives, they don't, like, Trump doesn't pay attention to what Ann Coulter has to say. Mm-hmm. She doesn't pay attention to these other conservative hucksters. They don't influence anybody. They probably influence the liberals more than they influence the conservatives. So
they're entertainment, you know,
but they're entertainment, and they're getting a book deal. They're getting gigs at universities.
Listen, I've laughed at Ann Coulter's stuff before for the most part, just because most of the time it's so ridiculous and so hateful that I'm just like, it's just, I'm in awe that a person could just get up there and say that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, more power to you that you can get up there and do that. I don't agree with what you're saying, but you're laughing.
But Kellyanne Conway, I would say, is somebody who does have influence. And if she came out as a lesbian, I think it would be a really good idea to do a profile on her. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, I think Shirley Phelps with the with her organization,
Westboro Baptist Church,
I think in some ways they had a lot of influence.
Oh, huge influence on the gay rights agenda, because you have to remember, and this is part of the reason why you kind of wonder if they were punking us the whole time. We've talked about this over the years, is that, you know, we had never heard of Westboro Baptist Church until Matthew Shepard died, and they were the ones that went and protested his funeral. And to be honest with you, if Matthew Shepard had a funeral, you know, and they weren't protesting, I really think that there wouldn't have been as much media attention. But because there was this church out there that put this face of hate onto what they did, that's when people said, oh my God, look at this. And they're doing this in the name of God and Christ. And so it drew attention to it.
And Chadwick Moore, I think your intentions may have been noble in the sense of wanting to write about, you know, LGBT Nazis or conservatives. But ultimately, the people that you were writing about really didn't have much influence until you gave them credit. Same. And, you know, Leslie Jones and Twitter and all this, like, shutting down of this guy's account. It was the same. It was the same kind of situation there. Had Leslie Jones not reacted, had other people, had she just blocked them?
Yeah.
Do what RuPaul. RuPaul does this all the time on Twitter.
Oh yeah, she blocked Courtney Act because she didn't like her. Now I guess she's unblocked now, but
that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, just block these people. It's the internet. There's a block button. Use it.
And so he also goes on to say that he met a good-looking Republican construction worker and went out on a date with him. He gave him a shot, whereas he wouldn't have done it before because he's liberal. But now that he's conservative, he can date other conservative, good-looking men.
And somebody asked him on Twitter.
They said, how'd the date go with the sexy Republican construction worker? And he tweeted back, thanks, he was lovely. I'm still sore. So at least he's got like a sense
of humor. He's butt hurt, but in a good way now.
But yeah, he's butt hurt, but in a good way. And this is the thing, you know, and the guy who he wrote this book called Trust Me, I'm Lying. And do you remember Tucker Max? Mm-mm. So Tucker Max was like this douchebag that came out with like this book on like dating advice for bros, basically kind of like on his way to like take advantage of women. Well, this guy, Ryan Holiday, helped create the campaign, the marketing campaign behind it. And what they didn't have any money for it. So one of the things that they did was they bought some ads on the CTA here in Chicago and put up these ads, right? And nobody really paid that much attention to him. But he started these fake Twitter accounts being like outraged by this and then calling the CTA and say, how dare you? And da da da. And so that got a ton of press. And then not only did the CTA refund their money because they had to cancel the thing, but he got so much more from
it. The campaign.
Yeah. They took the signs down out of the CTA, refunded their money. So they got their money back and were able to put it into other things. But through a whole like squad of like these fake Twitter accounts and people like creating this fake outrage, that they were able to really promote the book. Now, this guy's next book that came out, they didn't have, it was like a softer version of it, and they didn't do the same kind of campaign. And the sales were not nearly as well as the first campaign, because people were actually angry. And that's the whole thing with like this thing with the alt-right and Trump and the Russians involved. And there's just so much fake outrage going on. And so people are getting outraged at the outrage, and it just escalates onto itself. But really, very few people are mad.
Make love, mm-hmm. not war. Mm-hmm. Bring people together. Mm-hmm. You know, and this kind of behavior of like running ads in public transportation, mm-hmm. and then calling the public transportation that you ran ads on, pretending to be somebody else, and be like, this is awful, this should be taken down. And they take it down there, and then they issue a press release saying, we've been censored by public transportation, they're liberal bias, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have public transportation because black people ride on public transportation. Mm-hmm. See? Nazis were right. Mm-hmm. I'm gay and I'm a Nazi. So part of that is that's the mindset of somebody who feels like they don't have any other resources. They mm-hmm. don't have any recourse. Mm-hmm. They don't trust their community. They feel like they've been left behind. I remember in the late 80s and early 90s, theater companies, mm-hmm. especially at the height of the AIDS crisis,
sure.
would put on performance art shows, mm-hmm. which was a little confusing. It was a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
These were political rants or these were sort of very raw emotional performances that some people might not necessarily want to go see. Mm-hmm. And then came Jesse Helms and the National Endowment for mm-hmm. the Arts controversy. And in some ways, it was devastating for a lot of these rural, small town arts organizations to be able to fund their museums, their community projects, art therapy and resources for veterans and education for minority children or people in poor communities, regardless of their race and color. And there was also like theater companies saying, come see the show that Jesse Helms doesn't want you to see. Yeah. Warning, show contains nudity.
Ooh.
And all these things, and it got people excited. It got people to come see the show. So, you know, and ultimately, I want to live in a world where we don't have to title podcasts Dick Will Make You Slap Someone to make you mm-hmm. sort of consider some of the opinions and ideas that we want to present to you. But ultimately, you know, I think that it's dangerous when we give attention and credibility to people who don't have any influence or relevance to a debate.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, when you're trying to present votes, but you know, the quotation, both sides of the debate, are you looking at different possible solutions to a common problem, or are you debating somebody who's trying to find a solution and someone who's creating the problem?
That's a hard distinction, you know?
Well, and ultimately, as a journalist, you have to make that distinction. You know, are you saying it's like, if this person is advocating for the destruction of healthcare, the removal of all healthcare system, that's saying that transgender people aren't valid, that you're saying that marriage equality isn't a necessity, that we should not have workplace discrimination protection, then probably that person is causing those problems that we want to alleviate. And so we've seen the evidence. This person probably is a miserable, lonely fuck who feels like they've been left behind, and ultimately they just need a little love.
Aww.
You know?
You get some more hurt in the butt.
And maybe this guy is responding. Chadwick is like, you know, because I went on his social media and he had one article, and all it was on his Facebook page was an article about Lady Bunny.
Aww.
And you know what?
You need some more articles, dude. Well, it's Valentine's Day, and Trump has some Valentines for everyone. He's got a new line of Valentines to come out. I'll read a couple to you. He goes, I want you on my side of the wall.
Is this real?
Illegal immigrants are stealing our jobs, but you're stealing my heart.
Oh.
I'm going to build a wall around your heart so no one else can get in. And I wouldn't deport you. If anybody sends me a Trump Valentine, I'll kill him.
I love you. Hugely.
Hugely.
Bigly. Bigly. It says bigly.
Bigly. Well, it's a pun day in the UK.
Yeah,
so the town of Leicester has like a comedy pun day. And so they had a contest on funny puns. So if you just look on Twitter, you can see the hashtag is hashtag pun day UK. But we've collected some of our favorite ones for you.
Mark, what exactly is like a pun? A pun is two words that sound like each other, but with hilarious consequences.
Yes, with a little difference in there. So like one of the puns is, why do they have barcodes on the returning Swedish fleet? So they can scan the Navy in.
Oh, get I like it? That. Yeah. I like the one that really stands out to me is the spaghetti one about the guy who'd...
Well, read it. Just read the pun.
Well, this one is... this was by a Twitter account called Innocent Drinks. Mm-hmm. He says, my wife told me I was a fool to build a car out of spaghetti. You should have seen the look on her face when I drove... pasta.
Ian McDonald writes, I like my women like I like my generalizations, by and large. Ooh.
Ew.
And then Richard Paulsford, I sent a food parcel to my first wife, FedEx. I asked the librarian if she knew of any authors who wrote dinosaur novels. She said, try Sarah Topps.
A bloke just threw a milkshake at me. How dare he?
A photon checked into the airport and was asked if he had any luggage. He replied, no, I'm traveling light.
John Sutton says, do you know that in Iran, absolutely everyone's scared of spiders? In Iraq, no phobia.
Richard Baxter writes, a lady stopped me to say she recognized me from the vegetarian club. I'm almost certain I'd never seen her before.
Ay, Dios mío.
I was walking the dogs when all of a sudden they vanished into thin air. Not sure where they went, but I've got some leads. Leads is what they call the call, you know.
Oh, yeah, in the UK.
Yeah. No, here too.
Do. Mm-hmm. I dreamt that I had written The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, and The Silmarillion. Mm-hmm. When I woke up, Mark said I had been Tolkien in my sleep.
There was a cheese factory explosion, debris everywhere.
Yay. And one more.
No. I stood in the park thinking, why does a Frisbee look bigger the closer it gets? Then it hit me. I went to the emergency room with a nasty cut and asked the nurse if I was all right, if I did my own stitches. She said, suit yourself.
One more and let's wrap this up.
Okay.
How about the vampire? My vampire slaying business is struggling to cope with overwhelming demand. I'm worried I won't cope. Because there's a lot at stake.
Nah. I ate a clock yesterday. It was so time consuming.
What is this? Like podcast suddenly turned into laughing. And, you know, puns are a big part of RuPaul's Drag Race. When RuPaul eliminates the queens, you know, They were like,
she always tries to do a good pun.
Yeah, she. Mm-hmm. That's the
and sometimes magic it's there. Like that's how why you get eliminated because the pun matches. You might have been better in the challenge, but she's got a better pun to send you away to go with.
Because the point of you know these reality TV competitions is not you know necessarily mm-hmm. to crown the best mm-hmm. girl the winner mm-hmm. or whatever or to even promote drag queens. It's to
entertain the masses.
It's to entertain people who are watching the show and deliver some mm-hmm. sick, twisted mm-hmm. puns.
Yeah. So there's a service station in Australia that is fed up. I guess they're having a heat wave right now, and they're really disgusted. So they put up a sign that says, "We are no longer accepting boob, jock, or sock money due to the hot and humid weather." So I guess people have like been coming. Like it's very common for women to carry money in their boob because like they don't, you know, don't have a purse, they don't have a wallet, they don't want to put it in their pocket, and so they just keep it in there. And the guys are just like, it's just disgusting getting this sweaty, sweaty money.
Have you ever like worked in a retail or store environment where people were paying with like sweaty money?
No, not like sweaty money. No, but I mean, I've bartended before. I'm sure I've touched lots of gross, disgusting dollars, and you know, I've certainly stuck a few dollars in some strippers' jocks. So
They say that if you're going to be snorting any kind of drugs, mm-hmm. the best thing to use is those McDonald's spoons for
the
coffee.
They don't sell them anymore. They don't use them anymore.
Or just use a straw.
Your own straw.
Your own straw. Because using money is filled with germs, mm-hmm. and then you're likely to catch all sorts of hepatitis.
Yet hepatitis is very commonly
from money,
from people snorting cocaine through dollar bills.
In fact, there's so much cocaine in our financial currency that there's like all money mm-hmm. has a little bit of a residue of mm-hmm. cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the police want to like frame you for carrying cocaine, they're just going to say there was cocaine residue on your dollars. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like the so if you have to roll a bill to snort cocaine, use one that's not in circulation as much, like $100.
Oh, honey, bill. if you are sharing a $100 bill snorting cocaine with it, your chances are that $100 bill is going to walk off somewhere. You are not going to have it in your hand
by the time you're done.
By the time
gone.
You're done. No.
So ultimately, just straws.
Yeah,
just don't do the drugs
just use
in general.
A fresh straw.
Yeah,
little booty bump. So Donald Trump had a poster for his inauguration, and the sign for the poster, which is you know being sold, I guess, by the Library of Congress, said, "No dream is too big. No challenge is too great. Nothing we want for the future is beyond our reach." But the too great was spelled instead of T-O-O, meaning like it's too much.
Yes.
It was spelled T-O.
The preposition.
The preposition, yeah. And so it's so very telling.
Well, yeah. And I guess the person would have, you know, mm-hmm. used spell check, but if he ran spell check, mm-hmm. he wouldn't have caught it.
Yeah.
And maybe so like, you know, like if somebody actually mm-hmm. looked at the poster before they printed it,
mm-hmm.
but chances are, you know, Trump is kind of the person who's all he wants to do is watch television and tweet about stuff that he watches on television. Mm-hmm. He's the president.
Yeah.
He thinks he's in charge, but it's really Bannon.
And he's just sitting around watching Fox News and yeah. going to a few other sites. And people are like, oh, they watch like the same things that he watches. Like, oh, can't wait for the tweet about this.
What do you think about people talking about that, you know, like Saturday Night Live and having women parodying, you know, they want Rosie to play Bannon.
Sure.
They right now have Melissa McCarthy doing amazing.
Oh, my God.
Right?
So amazing.
What do you think about like the idea of people who are trying to form a resistance against mm-hmm. our fascist government? That's, you know, I don't know if we'll be able to podcast in the future. Like they're trying to take over the FCC, which means that your ability to access content on the internet is going to be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And might be too expensive to do this podcast.
They might punish us for like trying to upload things to the internet.
Yeah.
So we'll have to pay extra for it.
We don't know what's going to happen, yeah. but they're right now trying to do away with the FCC and any kind of protections you have for putting stuff on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a lot of powerful companies, you know, in Silicon Valley and in tech that are fighting against this, but we'll see, where this is all going to go. So ultimately, right now, our ability to criticize our government in using the internet as a tool is very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have their way, they might make protesting, mm-hmm. illegal or limited in some way.
They wanted, what was it, Minnesota wanted to charge protesters for the cost of protesting.
For using
the police, because the police have to be there, and so they were going to charge them for that. Basically taking away people's rights to actually protest, because a lot of these people are disenfranchised and poor. So anybody who's going to protest has to be wealthy.
And ultimately, like, you know, I just kind of want to bring up this idea, is that if somebody who actually listens to our show a lot might actually be aware of a lot of these issues that are tangible and real, and sort of, you know, I don't think of us as necessarily liberal or conservative. We're very progressive, yes, but we're ultimately trying to create an evidence and an argument for the policies and opinions that we have here. And ultimately, we want to be inclusive and diverse and to listen to people. And not limit other people from accessing. I think a lot of these fascists, a lot of these neocons, they're not interested in entertaining different opinions. They feel like there's only one way to see things, and they're not interested in anything else.
And they're very easy. They're very happy to criticize somebody for one thing, but then hypocritically do the same thing and not even care. It doesn't even matter.
My mother
like
said,
Obama going on vacation, like he, you know, going on a golf trip, like he was so criticized. And it's like, you know, Trump has golfed like the past 2 weekends. No criticism, none at all. Where is it? There is no outrage. There won't be any outrage because it's a double standard.
Listen to the podcast Jesse Helms doesn't want you to hear. So my mother always believed that if you just have a good nap and a good meal, with a salad, you'll feel better.
I believe that.
And there's a new study that Mama was right. It reveals eating vegetables and fruits, but mostly vegetables, are great for your psychological well-being. And some people are hypothesizing that it might be because fruits and vegetables are high in fiber. The researchers found that participants who personally received extra vegetables and fruits consumed most of these products over the 2 weeks, 3.7 servings daily. It was that group that experienced improvements in psychological well-being. In particular, these participants demonstrated improvements in vitality, motivation, optimism, and flourishing.
I need some more vitality.
But the study also said nagging people to eat healthier by eating more fruits and vegetables was actually counterproductive in improving their health and emotional well-being.
I really was always really surprised when I would have people come in, like, back in my days of waiting tables and in the restaurant. There's people like, oh, if it's a green vegetable, I won't eat it. I don't eat any kind of vegetables. And I just think to myself, it's like, do you want to live? I mean, you need this kind of stuff in your diet.
And there's a little bit of negativity there, right? It's like, I don't want to experience something. You know, and to me, there's something glorious about a celery covered in peanut butter, or a really good salad with some toasted almonds and a green apple and a good vinaigrette and some crumbled goat cheese.
Yummy.
It's transcendent. Slices of avocado on top of a chicken soup. Baby, you're taking me to heaven. So, you know, sometimes it's, you know, loneliness and isolation and negativity is something, you know, it's about finding resources. And I really like this. I don't want to give too much credibility to RuPaul, but he has some good advice.
John Oliver wants him as president.
Yeah. He says, make America fierce again.
Yeah.
And RuPaul has his shortcomings, you know, as we all do. But one idea that RuPaul has that's really great is that he urges all young people who feel lost, especially nonconformists, to find their tribe, meaning find your support network, find the people that you can have a conversation with, that you can disagree with, that when you're cranky, when you're feeling isolated, they can be your backbone. You know, Mark and I have an amazing community. You guys get to experience them here on the show. And Mark,
they're your community too.
They're your community too. But, you know, we provide that for each other. And sometimes it's important to reach out if you feel like somebody in your community is being left behind, somebody that you know. Ain't nothing wrong with just calling someone up and say, how you doing? How you doing, baby?
Keep them close.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing pretty good. Did you know that dolphins or porpoises eat blowfish? And some say they do it to get them high.
Yeah, it's pretty common in the animal kingdom. I think, what is it, cows, those hallucinogenic mushrooms, and what was that? It was the reindeer.
The reindeers in, like, up in Lapland, they eat, like, mushrooms, and I guess the shaman up there, too, would also eat the mushrooms, and it made them seem like they were flying. And that's why Santa's reindeer and his sled fly. Because of the hallucinations.
Hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. And then there are certain places, like when people go on vacation, they're told not to leave their drink unattended because the little monkeys will come down and drink their drink because they love to get drunk.
What's the benefit of getting intoxicated in ways that sort of change your consciousness?
I don't know. But, you know, they did a study with, was it like Timothy Leary back in the day, and he put all these people on LSD, and a lot of the people really felt like they had a spiritual awakening. And many of them went into, they became some kind of like spiritual advisor, whether that's a priest or a pastor or something, or they had an awakening.
I would say that a lot of my, I don't know what you want to call it. If you think I'm wise or cool or chill or intelligent or whatever, or maybe demented or insane, a lot of that I attribute to my journey and experiences with gay counterculture with the Radical Fairies. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, at some party, some gathering somewhere, somebody had a pot brownie or mushroom tea. And, you know, there's something really, or I went to, when I was very young, I went to the Netherlands, to Amsterdam, and shared a philosopher's stone. Mm-hmm. It's called, it's a hallucinogenic rhizome. Mm-hmm. And I had this really transcendent, unique, powerful experiences of wandering around Amsterdam with my friends, discovering our minds. And, you know, I also know some people who've lost their well-being and have done a lot of damage to their health because they've abused these tools, or we want to call it,
sure,
alcohol or mushrooms or LSD.
Tools.
You know, they're tools for changing your consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, like, my message out there to people is, like, you know, these are powerful mind-changing substances. Use them very sparingly and use them very cautiously. Because ultimately in this society, we have a lot of laws, a lot of misunderstanding. And, you know, we live, well, there are some cities and places where they put people in jail forever just because they hold on to a little bit of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Colorado and Washington State, where you can buy marijuana recreationally.
Yay for them. I understand that the cost of marijuana is really going down in those places.
Yeah, so. And people are not drinking as much. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is about in the 1950s, people believed you could die and overdose from marijuana, but alcohol is perfectly safe, and now it's the other way around.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Well, it's, you know, because the marijuana was like anybody could grow and it was cheap, and then also too, it was very the Mexican people, I guess, really liked it, and they brought it in, so it was a way to kind of like make those people illegal. You know, everybody's having fun with Donald Trump and his handshakes these days. And Justin Trudeau, the prime minister of Canada,
He
wasn't falling for it. Because what Trump does, and this is a really weird power play, is like he'll extend his hand to shake somebody's hand, and then he'll like pull that person close into him, you know? And so the person isn't expecting it, and they're kind of like being dragged closer to him. And then also, you know, he did that thing with the prime minister of Japan, the president of Japan, and they were shaking hands for like a really, really long time. And afterwards, the guy was just like, "Oh, geez, man, what a weird handshake that was." But Justin Trudeau,
like, he wasn't able to hide his
disdain, displeasure from him. He was like, "Oh, Jesus, this guy's something else." And so, there's a photo being passed around of Justin Trudeau kind of looking at Donald Trump's hand, like I don't know if I want to go there because I saw what you did with the Prime Minister of Japan. But he did shake his hand, and they got some photos from it. But I guess like the reporters in the audience were kind of like, it was really odd because like Trump had his hand out there for a while before Justin took it. But when Justin got out of the car to go meet Trump, what he did was, instead of getting that yank, is he walked over to Trump. He took his non-shaking hand and put it on Trump's arm, like the top part of his arm. Then he shook his hand, so he like held Trump's hand in place, so Trump couldn't like yank it away, like yank him forward.
And this is like politics right now. Yeah. So we're not talking about policy. We're just talking about pissing games. It's a pissing game.
Yeah, it's crazy. This is the world we live in.
I have some good news.
What's that?
The Duffer Brothers, who produce Stranger Things on Netflix.
Oh my God, one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
Dun, 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 dun. Mm-hmm. They just announced they're possibly going to go for 4 or 5 seasons.
Oh wow, we're going to watch those little kids grow up and die.
And eat lots of waffles.
Oh, lots of Eggos. I wonder if Eggos is sponsoring it.
I think so, actually. Yeah. I think they're doing product placement because the Super Bowl ad for the next season actually used Eggo waffle advertising into the intro of it.
They did. Dun, 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 yeah, dun, if you see a brand in anything, they're probably getting paid for it, without a doubt.
Today is Valentine's Day, and we want to wish you guys a fabulous day to celebrate those and the things and the people and places and ideas that you love.
Yeah. And maybe you don't have that special someone, but you do have friends and you do have family. Spend time with your friends and family. You don't have to sit at home and get drunk watching Netflix. You can do things. You can go out to a movie. You can go to a spa. You can do all sorts of things. The person that's the Valentine in your life is you.
That's right. If you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to quote somebody else?
And it's okay. If you want to eat a box of Valentine chocolates, go ahead and eat a box of Valentine chocolates. But make sure you get your 3 cups of fruits and vegetables in there, too.
That's right, baby. You know? Just go to the grocery store or the pharmacy and get yourself some of those discounted Valentine's Day chocolates. They're on sale the next day. They're still good.
Or put on your hookup profile, looking for that boyfriend Valentine's Day experience and see what, you never know what'll happen. You never know.
Who knows what magic unfolds the next day.
And don't succumb to the pressure. It's like, we have a guest coming over tomorrow for Valentine's Day. I was just like, listen, we're doing podcasts this week. Can you do Wednesday or Tuesday? And I'm like, I know Tuesday is Valentine's Day. And it's like, I love my husband, but I don't care about Valentine's Day that much. But he better get me a card.
Oh God! I have to leave the house.
You have to. I'm just kidding. I want to.
Can I draw one with crayons or something?
You can, but it has to be heartfelt.
Mother always wanted us to draw cards for her.
Sweet
for Mother's Day, and she always thought they were hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
She saved a lot of them though, and so now her kitchen's like full of like.
Bad child art.
Yeah.
I know. I've seen it. I want to remind folks, too, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen.
And we got some fabulous t-shirts, honey. What better presents for people you love than from your favorite podcast, Feast of Fun? Visit our store, feastoffun.com/store. If you need any help, honey, we'd be happy to assist you. Just message us on Twitter, on Instagram, on social media. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.